From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. President Bush speaks to the nation from the White House this evening. He's expected to claim significant progress toward pacifying Iraq, but to concede that considerable work remains to be accomplished. Mr. Bush's address follows a busy week of international diplomacy, and at the close of a weekend in the Middle East where events have left the U.S.-sponsored roadmap for peace between Israel and the Palestinians in tatters. Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas, one of the few Palestinian leaders still on speaking terms with Israel, submitted his resignation Saturday morning. He was seen as losing a power struggle with Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. Also on Saturday, Israel continued its campaign against ranking members of the militant Hamas organization. An Israeli warplane bombed an apartment in Gaza, slightly injuring Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, the spiritual leader of Hamas. The White House issued a statement cautioning all sides to consider the ramifications of their actions and insisting that the roadmap for peace was still viable. Doyle McManus is the Washington Bureau Chief of the Los Angeles Times, a regular guest on our show, and he's with us in the studio. Welcome back, Doyle.
Good morning, Leanne.
You know, just a few months ago, the president was riding this wave of popular support after the U.S. troops quickly deposed Saddam Hussein, overtook Iraq. Diplomatic efforts got Israel and the Palestinians talking again. Now U.S. troops are under constant attack in Iraq, and the roadmap to peace seems like a relic. Can the White House actually regain some momentum on this foreign policy front?
I think the president and the White House can regain momentum. They have no choice but to try and regain that momentum, but it sure isn't going to be easy. They've got an awful lot of circumstances running against them at the moment. There is Iraq, where the president is going to go on television tonight and, in effect, try and reintroduce American citizens to the rationale for being in Iraq. That is something that is overdue. There's an echo here, in a sense, of last summer, when you'll remember in August the administration seemed to be floundering on the question of whether we should go to war with Iraq, and Andy Card, the White House Chief of Staff, memorably said, well, if you have a new product, you don't introduce it in August, you introduce it in September. I think what we are seeing now is the rollout of this year's version of the Bush foreign policy, and we'll see that not only on Iraq, but also on North Korea, where this administration that often seems kind of inflexible is, under the surface, quite flexible in practice. The Middle East, the Arab-Israeli dispute, in a sense, is the most difficult one because there are fewer new options. There are not a lot of rabbits that people haven't already pulled out of hats. But the good news there for the president is that I think American voters are less inclined to blame him for things that go wrong in that country.
The Bush administration this past week also tried to make peace with the United Nations, asking for a multinational force to help quiet the insurgents in Iraq. But once again, he had to confront France and Germany, and the U.S. didn't get its way. Where is this going to lead?
And once again, we're back in that bargaining situation that these robust unilateralists of the Bush administration hate to be in. Somehow we have to deal with the French and the Germans and the Russians and the Chinese over a war that we won. There are really three issues there. One is the question of who would command the military forces. That one has basically been settled. Kofi Annan, the Secretary General of the United Nations, in effect has already brokered an agreement. Everyone will agree that American commanders should command the force. The second is how big the role of the UN Security Council should be, and that really is a question of how much influence France and Russia and China should have. And then the third is how quickly do you move toward giving sovereignty to a new Iraqi government. And those last two questions are not going to be easy ones. I think this discussion is going to go on a long time, and it will be a long time before we see substantial numbers of international forces taking the place of American forces in Iraq.
The economy hasn't been very friendly to President Bush either. Unemployment numbers are stubbornly pretty dismal. The president's been touring the country this past Labor Day week. He's been insisting that his tax cuts are helping. Is that message going to serve him well if things don't improve significantly in the coming months?
I think the message is going to wear thin. Economists are beginning to worry that we are seeing not just a jobless recovery, but what some have started calling a job loss recovery. The economy is actually doing better, but the last report was 93,000 fewer jobs. But the president really has no choice but to appear active on this. The one thing it is worth noting is he is not making his father's mistake. In George Bush Sr.'s term, he said, don't worry, the economy's going to come back. George W. Bush is saying, the economy's going to come back, but I'm going to paddle like crazy to make sure it does.
What did you think of the Democratic presidential candidates' debate this past week?
Really quite remarkable, because there was Governor Howard Dean, the front runner from Vermont. Everybody thought, the smart money among the political reporters thought, that Dean would be a punching bag. They hardly laid a glove on him. Why? Because that would consecrate Dean as the front runner, and it would endanger the others.
And finally, you live in Washington, but you work for a California paper, so you're probably closely watching that governor's race recall election out there. They're not as clear-cut as they seem.
You know, Leanne, this is a race of the likes none of us have seen. There aren't enough polls for us to know what's going on. We don't know what's in the mind of the voters, but what we are beginning to see is the unexpected resurgence of Governor Gray Davis, the most unpopular man in California politics, but also the canniest politician in California politics. And he has begun this week to run against President George W. Bush and wrap himself, among other things, around Governor Dean of Vermont. Don't count anybody out in this race.
Los Angeles Times Washington Bureau Chief Doyle McManus, as always, it's great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Leanne.